This is from The World According to Garp by John Irving. It was then that Garp saw the nattily dressed elderly gentleman whose mustache had been innocent. He was making his meek way out of the park, coming cautiously into the parking lot. When the man saw Garp standing beside the policeman, he seemed relieved. He assumed Garp had been apprehended, and he more boldly walked toward them. Garp contemplated running to avoid the confusion, the explanation, but just then the policeman said, "I have to get your name and what it is that you do, besides run in the park," he laughed. "I'm a writer," Garp told him. The policeman was apologetic that he hadn't heard of Garp, but at the time Garp hadn't published anything except the Pension Grill Parser. There was very little the policeman could have read. This seemed to puzzle the policeman. "An unpublished writer?" he asked. Garp was rather glum about it. "Then what do you do for a living?" the policeman said. "My wife and my mother support me," Garp admitted. "Well, I have to ask you what they do," the policeman said. "For the record, we like to know how everyone makes a living." The offended gentleman with the white mustache, who had overheard only the last bits of this interrogation, said, "Just as I would have thought, a vagrant, a despicable bum." This is from Dancing Through Life in a Pair of Broken Heels by Mickey Geiswhite. Right now, I'm preoccupied with determining what color to paint the interior of my home. I know it will be white. But which white? There are 423 different shades of white. I happen to know this because right now I have 1-inch paint samples of each taped to the wall in my living room. To complicate matters, I'm also thinking of buying a new couch. Of the 57 different couch styles the furniture store featured on its showroom floor, none appealed to me. This explains why I have 2 tattered black and white line drawings from catalogs taped to the wall along with the 423 paint samples. Not to mention 27 3-inch swatches of off-white upholstery fabric. And in the saleswoman's own words, what's a couch without throw pillows? Add 15 different throw pillow fabric samples ranging from a solid burgundy moire to a southwestern Dury, to a tapestry print depicting little deer and rabbits to the list of things taped to my wall. Now, to the rank amateur, this wall of 10,248 possible combinations, out of which one must be chosen, might be intimidating. But not to me. Brimming with self-confidence, the creative juices flowing, I stood before the wall, ready to make my own decorating statement. 3 minutes later, I began inviting girlfriends over. This is from Guns, Germs, and Steel, The Fates of Human Societies by Jared Diamond. So much for our dispassionate examination of the germs' interests. Now let's get back to considering our own selfish interests to stay alive and healthy, best done by killing the damned germs. One common response to our infection is to develop a fever. Again, we're used to considering fevers as a symptom of disease, as if it developed inevitably without serving any function. But regulation of body temperature is under our genetic control and doesn't just happen by accident. A few microbes are more sensitive to heat than our own bodies are. By raising our body temperature, we are in effect trying to bake the germs to death before we get baked ourselves. Another common response of ours is to mobilize our immune system. White blood cells and other cells of ours actively seek out and kill foreign microbes. The specific antibodies that we gradually build up against a particular microbe infecting us make us less likely to get reinfected once we become cured.